Hey, Truth Seekers, Mike Malloy here on the Progressive Voices Network. We've got a deal for you. You can now subscribe to our new one-hour audio-video combination MalloyCast for only $29 a year. But you have to act fast. This deal ends on tax day, April 15th. Since we're without any business managers now, 100% of your support goes directly to maintaining our nightly campfire. Visit MikeMalloy.com to renew or to subscribe. And thank you for all the ways you keep it lit.
Live from the Daniel Scappin Studio, deep in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, it's Mike Malloy.
Having me a ball, because I got a good feeling, and I don't feel no pain at all. Riding my day.
It is the 21st of, the 22nd, I'm sorry, of March. 2019. Welcome to the Friday Malloy podcast. Have you subscribed yet to the podcast? If you haven't, please do. We are running quite a special right now until the 15th of April. Anybody, let me rephrase that, everybody who listens to this podcast can afford what we're offering. Seriously. A year subscription of audio and video for $29.95 for a year. The regular price after the 15th of April will be $49.95. So now's the time to subscribe for real. If you have a subscription now, this new one-year subscription would just be added on to what would have been the expiration date of the subscription you have now. It's called forward thinking. what was the other thing? Oh, the sponsorships are only $25 right now. You can sponsor the Hour program podcast with a $25 sponsorship. After the 15th, it'll go up to $50. So, whereas we used to charge just under $100 for an audio and video subscription to this podcast, now it's down to half that, $49.95, after April 15th. Between now and April 15th, it's only $29.95. All the information is at MikeMalloy.com. But for heaven's sake, now is the time to subscribe. Now is the time when you get the advantage of this low rate and we get the advantage of having an influx of renewals and new subscribers, I would hope. So, please subscribe. Thank you. This is Friday, and it's kind of like where everything swirls down to the drain on a Friday, and the stuff that doesn't make it through stays in the sink or the basin or the commode, whatever, however you want to refer to it. This is one of those stories that just, I guess it just freaks me out. I don't know how else to put it. It just, when I read this, I said to myself, self? What? But, oh, something's printing. Oh, well, look here. Kathy found a sponsor. It's Susan in Georgia for Earth. Yeah, let me get to the story in a second. Susan writes, holy shit, Mike, you didn't warn me how crazy the politicians in Georgia are. Governor Kemp makes my slapping hand itch. Love the show. Susan, a.k.a. For Earth, who now lives in Georgia. Smart move. She used to live in Seattle. But Seattle is going to crash into the sea here pretty soon. Well, all of Cascadia is, right? Thank you, Susan. Thank you, For Earth. Anybody else who wants to sponsor a program, please feel free to do so. All right. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah, this insane story. We are in the initial stages of climate change, global warming, anthropogenic climate disruption, the melting of the glaciers, the melting of the ice caps, the oceans not only have become acidic, but they can no longer absorb the amount of CO2 necessary to stabilize the atmosphere. Unbeknownst to us, the ocean has been absorbing billions of tons of carbon dioxide, billions of tons, which has had the effect of keeping the non-ocean temperature fairly stable, relatively stable. But the ocean can only absorb so much, and we are rapidly reaching the point of the oceans not being able to absorb anymore. Ocean temperatures are rising, which increases the chance of severe hurricanes, like the one that hit Mozambique, Zimbabwe, three countries in South Central Africa that have been utterly and absolutely decimated. The death toll is in the scores of hundreds. A hurricane, or as they call it in the Southern Hemisphere, a cyclone, slammed into the continent of Africa. That's not the story that caught my eye, though. Mount Everest, the glaciers and the snow caps, the snow, the ice on Mount Everest is melting. That in and of itself is pretty much of a horrific thing to consider. The glaciers in the Himalayas provide water, drinking water, cooking water, washing water, industrial water to literally hundreds of millions of people in South Asia, most notably, of course, India. Hundreds of millions of people rely on the rivers that come as a result of a slow, steady, heretofore, melting of glaciers and the systematic melting in the summer months, freezing in the winter months. That's gone. That's over. So as these glaciers and the snow melt on Mount Everest, the expedition operators that take people to the top are finding increasing numbers of dead bodies on Mount Everest. More than 200 climbers have died on Mount Everest since 1922, when the first climbers deaths on Mount Everest were recorded, 1922. So it's been just under 100 years. The majority of the bodies of those people that died were believed to have remained buried under glaciers or snow, which apparently they were. Aung Shering Sherpa, that's his name. He's the former president of a Nepal Mountaineering Association. The Sherpa people are the ones who primarily lead, if not exclusively, lead Westerners and Easterners up Mount Everest. Well, this man, who is the president of Nepal Mountaineering Association, told CNN, quote, due to the impact of climate change and global warming, snow and glaciers are fast melting. he could have stopped right there, and that's scary enough, but he goes on. And dead bodies are increasingly being exposed and discovered by climbers. Mr. Sherpa said, quote, since 2008, my own company has brought down 7 dead bodies of some mountaineers, some dating back to a British expedition in the 1970s. However, he said, it's getting worse or better if you have waited for decades for the return of your loved one's corpse. Then I would say things are getting better. Studies suggest that glaciers in the Mount Everest region, the Himalayas, I've heard it pronounced that way too. I'll say Himalayas. The glaciers and the snow there is melting. The glaciers are thinning. That's not good. An official of Nepal National Mountain Guide Association told CNN, quote, it's a very serious issue because it's increasingly common and affects our operations. Well, I would say to this man, Mr. Sovit Kunwar, that it's a little bit more serious than just affecting your operation. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but this is an effect that is showing up all over the world, the causes being pretty much all over the world. But I digress. Mr. Sovit Kunwar said, quote, we are getting really concerned about this because it's getting worse. We're trying to spread information about it so there can be a coordinated way to deal with it. Now, I'm not sure what he's talking about. A coordinated way to deal with retrieving the corpses, or a coordinated way to deal with global warming? Anyway, the association treasurer, this Nepal Mountain Guides Association, his name is Tenzing Sherpa, said that climate change is affecting Nepal rapidly, saying that in parts, glaciers are melting by a meter every year. This man said, quote, most of the dead bodies we bring to the towns, but those we can't bring down, we respect by saying prayers for them and covering them with rock or snow, which eventually will melt also, and the bodies will reappear. Mr. Tenzing Sherpa lamented the authorities' lack of action in dealing with dead bodies that are being encountered now on the slopes of Mount Everest. Mr. Tenzing said, quote, or Mr. Sherpa said, quote, we have not seen the government taking any responsibility, end quote, the government of Nepal. Now, the truth is, according to the experts, the Sherpa people, recovering and removing bodies from the higher camps up above, the 25,000-foot mark, can be both dangerous and expensive. Ong Shering Sherpa, one of the first pupils to study at a mountaineering school built by the New Zealand climber Edmund Hillary, who was the first white person to reach the summit of Mount Everest, said that one of the most dangerous recoveries was at 8,700 meters near the peak of Mount Everest. He said, quote, the body weighed 150 kilograms or 23.6 stone. You figure it out. 150 kilograms. And it had to be recovered from a difficult place at that altitude. It was a Herculean task. He added that it takes a long time to get funding from the government to remove bodies. But he said, we the operators feel it's our duty. And so whenever we find bodies, we bring them down. Which is a grim, morbid task, but it certainly is admirable of the people who have made a living taking people up the mountain, that now when corpses are found of people who did not make it up the mountain and back down, or even up the mountain, that those corpses are, to the extent that they're able to, returned to civilization. But Mount Everest now, the glaciers on Mount Everest, thinning, melting, disappearing. Scary stuff. You know, I said a long time ago that given the madness of this son of a bitch in the Oval Office, that even though I didn't even like to consider it, maybe the only solution before he completely destroys everything about the country would be a temporary, if such a thing exists, military coup, where the leaders of the various departments of the military, the various services, in other words, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, would just take over. It would be very easy for them to do, because who would resist? And of course, it sounds crazy. This is the United States of America. We're a constitutional republic. We're a democratic republic. We have rules and laws. We have documents. We have an insane fuck in the White House. And the Republicans in the Senate don't care. Apparently, if these Christian Republicans cared what Trump was doing in a negative way, they would assist the Democrats in the House in getting this son of a bitch out of office and into a prison cell where he belongs. What did I hear yesterday? That, or was it this morning? That this sick fuck Mike Pompeo, who's the Secretary of State, suggested that God delivered Donald Trump to save the state of Israel, or some such shit. This is how crazy it's gotten. He made a public statement about that. The commandant of the Marines has warned that deployment to the southwest border of the United States and funding for this ridiculous wall under Trump's emergency declaration has exposed, his words, quote, unacceptable risk to Marine Corps combat readiness and solvency. The key word there is unacceptable. Unacceptable. What does that mean when a military commander of the stature of the Marine Corps commandant says unacceptable? What does that mean? Does that mean, well, it's just rhetoric? Does that mean, well, maybe we can deal with it? Does it mean we'll try to find a solution? Or does it mean what the Marine Corps commandant is saying? It is unacceptable to Marine Corps combat readiness and solvency. If it is unacceptable, then the commandant is saying they're not going to do it. If they don't follow the commander-in-chief's orders, it's called mutiny, which under certain circumstances is punishable by death. So this is where Trump has taken us. In two internal memos, Marine Corps General Robert Neller said, quote, the unplanned and unbudgeted, end of quote, deployment along the border that Trump ordered last fall and shifts of other funds to support border security in Trump's addled fucking brain had forced him, the Marine Corps commandant, to cancel or reduce planned military training in at least five countries and delay urgent repairs at various Marine bases. Let that one sink in for a while. This is your Trump, you fuckers who voted for him. You MAGA hat wearing maggots. This is your Trump. I thought you people were right wingers and patriotic Americans. You're not. You're a bunch of goddamn idiots. This is what your president is doing. Now, anybody who thinks Trump was correct when he said the other day, when he was trying to stir up internal destruction, revolution, anarchy, when he said, well, I've got the police and the bikers and the military. You think? General Neller, who wears four stars, said because of the problems generated by Trump, he didn't say it, I'm saying, Marines will not participate in planned training exercises in Indonesia, Scotland, and Mongolia, and will reduce their participation in joint exercises with Australia and South Korea. Neller, who has been Marine Commandant since September 2015, said that Marines rely, Marines rely on the hard, realistic training of the training exercises to develop the individual and collective skills necessary to prepare for high-end combat. High-end combat? I've heard of high-end restaurants or high-end neighborhoods or high-end furniture stores, but high-end combat? Boy, that's a new one on me. Have you ever heard of that, Kathy?
No.
Well, it must be real fucking important if the Marine Corps Commandant says such a thing is in jeopardy because of Trump. Is that impeachable? General Neller complained about canceling or shrinking the Marines' participation, quote, at a time when we are attempting to double down on strengthening alliances and attracting new partners, end quote. With Trump in the White House, strengthening alliances, this rancid son of a bitch is shredding our alliances. General Joseph Dunford, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said he is scheduled to testify next Tuesday before the House Armed Services Committee, at which time members of that committee are likely to ask about General Neller's concern. In the meantime, Senator Richard Durbin, the Democrat from Illinois and vice chairman of the Defense Appropriations Subcommittee, said that Neller's memos showed the danger in diverting Pentagon funds to build the psychopath's wall. This crazy bastard Trump and his wall. In a statement, Durbin said, quote, if the president won't listen to the American people or Congress, then maybe he'll listen to the commandant of the Marine Corps, end quote. No, Senator Durbin, he won't. Because remember what he said, he knows more than the generals. Did you forget that, Senator Durbin? He is a very stable genius. He knows more than the generals. The generals have fucked everything up. Trump is here to make everything right and proper and in God's name, and Jesus will smile, and Pompeo and Mike Pence will run to church and talk about the glories of having Jesus Christ's stepbrother as President of the United States, or some such shit. Well, armed services chiefs complain periodically, often, and they warn of budget shortfalls. Independent experts who reviewed General Neller's memos described the language as unusually strong. In particular, and here's a very important part, in particular because what Neller said cites Trump's highest profile political priorities. This is not just a general statement from General Neller. These are specific points that Neller is making, and the points settle on what Trump is doing with his fucking wall. Can you imagine how insulting it must be to a four-star general, a Marine Corps commandant, to be told indirectly that his forces are not strong enough to repel an invasion, Trump called it, from the South, that it's going to take a goddamn wall? This is madness. Mandy Smithberger, defense expert at the Project for Government Oversight, a nonpartisan independent watchdog group, said, quote, "It's pretty unusual for the commandant to be raising concerns that a top political priority for the president is undermining the ability of the Marine Corps to do the training they need." She added, it looks like, from Commandant Neller's perspective, that he, the general, does think these policies are undermining readiness. That's the kind of charge that these filthy fucking Christian Republicans always make against Democratic presidents or members of the House and Senate. That because they're Democrats, they're undermining readiness, which Democrats have never done. This son of a bitch, Trump, is doing it. And this is not a politician making the point. This is a commandant of the United States Marine Corps making the charge. Do you see the difference? Todd Harrison, Director of Defense Budget Analysis, Center for Strategic International Studies, another so-called nonpartisan think tank in D.C., said, quote, "This is a pretty strongly worded memo." Yeah. Of course, Trump will pay no attention to it. Trump doesn't understand. No. Trump doesn't give a shit what he's doing, what he's done. When all of a sudden you have the highest ranking Marine in the United States military challenging a direct order from Trump, an order to build a wall. The challenge is in what the commandant said. If you're going to divert funds away from the military, which is what Trump has said, if you're going to take funds away, we're going to have to stop training exercises and construction maintenance and new construction, which means you're putting the readiness of the Marine Corps in jeopardy. Jesus fucking Christ, what does it take? Is this enough for the Republicans in the Senate to say, this is enough? And get this son of a bitch out of office. What's it going to take? We're heading for one of several different catastrophes with this monster in the White House. Internal war, American against American, global climate change, and all the horrors that come with it, like the flooding and destruction that's going on in America's breadbasket right now. An increase and the amount of confidence our enemies have, and God damn it, we have them, that now is the time to super fuck over the United States because there's no leadership. An economy that is on the verge, we are in another huge bubble, on the verge of just fucking blowing up. And now the military. This is the first little indication that the military leaders of the highest rank, the Joint Chiefs, have been talking among themselves about this crazy son of a bitch. This is the first indication. And it is an indication. The Marine Corps Commandant never would have stepped out on his own to make that statement without the participation, the cooperation, the discussion of the other four Joint Chiefs. Or is it five now? Four, I guess. Oh, the Space Force. Yeah, don't forget that. Captain Tomorrow is going to head that one. The expert from one of these military think tanks, Center for Strategic and International Studies, said, quote, the incremental cost of the border deployment of military personnel is likely small compared to hurricane recovery efforts, increases in civilian pay, military housing allowances, and other factors. This expert says, quote, it sounds like there are some bureaucratic politics at work here. You think? And then it goes on to say that the border deployment is adding to the strain after hurricanes severely damaged Marine Corps facilities and housing in North Carolina and Georgia, especially on the coast. Citing limits on his ability to transfer money because of the planned reprogramming under Trump's so-called emergency, Neller said the Marines are already short $1.3 billion for recovery operations this year, with another hurricane season almost here, and we'll be here early this year, trust me. Neller wrote, General Neller, in one of his memos, quote, the hurricane season is only 3 months away, and we have Marine sailors and civilians working in compromised structures. The housing, on base, near the bases, compromised structures that have already been severely damaged and should desperately, or in desperate need of repair. And Trump saying, no, there are hordes coming of women and children. It's an invasion force. We got to build the wall. The memo is written by Marine Corps General Neller. According to CNN, I'm sorry, according to LA Times, those memos are likely to revive uneasiness among the Republicans. It says on Capitol Hill, but among the Republicans about this border deployment. I say that because the Democrats are already out of their fucking minds about this. And this border deployment idea already chafed some military leaders, it says, including James Mattis, then Secretary of Defense, when Trump first ordered it shortly before the November 6th midterm election. You remember what Mattis did then? He resigned. What if some of the Joint Chiefs resigned? Well, then Trump could put his bikers in the place of the military chiefs, right? We are so fucking close to anarchy in this country. Meanwhile, the White House, the talking building, insisted that active duty troops were needed to stave off the caravans of migrants from Central America that are approaching. They're approaching. Well, the White House insists on that. The critics, of course, which should be everybody in America, point out that he's using the military as props for his political agenda, not for security purposes. Can you imagine if Obama was accused of doing this? Can you imagine if Bill Clinton or Jimmy Carter were accused of doing this? Can you imagine how every fucking Republican in Washington would be screaming their nuts off about this? But this is Trump. This is a gangster. What has he done? Threatened every fucking Republican? No, that's right. These are Christian Republican senators for the most part. And they know that God appointed Mr. Trump to be the leader and save Israel and stop abortions and make the queers disappear and make America great again. On October 29th, this moronic fuck Donald Trump tweeted, quote, "This is an invasion of our country and our military is waiting for you." I guess that was targeted towards pregnant women and three-year-olds and skinny young boys who are trying to carry everything that the family owns on their shoulders. Jesus Christ. The orange bastard later explained that the deployment of these 6,000 Marines, Army, Air Force, and Navy was necessary, and he extended their stay through September of this year, 2019. Well, There's nothing I can add to this. I mean, it's just... Let's take a break, Kathy. We'll be back momentarily. Stick around if you would. And our sponsor this evening is Susan, formerly of Seattle, now here in Georgia, also known as Four Earth. Susan writes, "Holy shit, Mike, you didn't warn me how crazy the politicians in Georgia are. Governor Kemp makes my slapping hand itch. Love the show." That sounds like something somebody born in Georgia would say. "You make my slapping hand itch. I'm going to slap you so hard. You're going to vibrate like a greasy. You're going to vibrate like a 10-penny nail hit with a greasy ball-peen hammer. Whomp!" Or something like that. Thank you, Susan. You can sponsor Malloy Podcasts also. All you have to do is kick in $25 and the sponsorship is yours. Go to MikeMalloy.com and you'll find the instructions on how to do that, okay? I don't know whether to scream or laugh or do both at the same time over this, but, you know, the House Oversight Chairman Elijah Cummings said yesterday, I'm sure you heard about this, that his committee has obtained information that several senior White House officials, that filthy fucking couple of Ivanka and Jared, have used personal email and messaging accounts to conduct government business. And the information includes that Trump's fucked up son-in-law, this arrogant little prick, Jared Kushner, communicated with foreign leaders through a private messaging application that appears to lack adequate safeguards, the WhatsApp application. In a letter to the White House yesterday, Cummings alleged that Jared Kushner, who is also Jared Kushner, a fucking little golem that made his money the same way the Trump family did, ripping people off, lying, cheating, and stealing in New York real estate. But that Kushner, who is a senior White House advisor, my daughter Molly would be a more educated senior White House advisor right now than Jared Kushner could be if he lives to be 100. Jesus Christ, these people. Anyway, Cummings, the House Oversight Chairman, said that this little prick Kushner had been using WhatsApp, a popular messaging application, to communicate with foreign leaders, something he said that Kushner's attorney had confirmed in a private meeting. He also contended that Ivanka Trump, Trump's daughter that he always wanted to sleep with, if it weren't his daughter, and maybe, well, man, is also a senior advisor, may be in violation of the Presidential Records Act by her use of private emails. Now, stop and think just a second. Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up! We're talking about Ivanka. Lock him up! Lock him up! Talking about Jared. Do you remember what this fucking animal Trump, you remember the deal he made about Hillary Clinton using, oh my God, a private email server to conduct government? Oh shit! Now his filthy fucking son-in-law and his ridiculously looking daughter are doing the same thing. Jesus, bleeding Christ. Some of Trump's closest confidants, as well as former officials Steve Bannon and KT McFarland, used personal email. The accusations come as Trump continues to attack Hillary Clinton for using private email when she was in government. These fucking people have absolutely no Why say it? In his letter, Chairman Cummings revealed that his panel learned the new information in a private meeting in December with Abby Lowell, the attorney for both the little prick Kushner, that skinny little bastard, and Ivanka Trump. Lowell referred inquiries to the White House, the talking building, and the National Security Council, about whether Kushner communicated classified information through WhatsApp, something that Chairman Cummings said would constitute, quote, a major security breach, end quote. But there's an invading force of children and women coming up from Guatemala. Think about that. Don't think about my son-in-law and my always perfectly coiffed and made up daughter. Think about those crazy fuckers coming with their starving babies and shit, huh? Think about that. Elijah Cummings said that the attorney for these two half-witted fuckers, Trump and Kushner, could not answer a question as to whether Kushner's communications included classified information. Abby Lowell just, oh man, I don't know. Oh, no. According to Cummings, when pressed how Kushner was backing up his communications in order to assure that he wasn't violating the Presidential Records Act, attorney Abby Lowell responded that Kushner took screenshots of what he was sending and forwarded them to his official White House email account. Oh, well, then everything's okay. These filthy, fucking, hypocritical, and I can't say Christian. He's a Jew, this hypocritical fucking Jew, along with the hypocritical fucking Christians. And what did Trump do this morning to divert attention away from all this? Eh? He said he now supports the Nazi Netanyahu's claim and Israel's claim that the Golan Heights, part of Syria, really now is going to be part of Israel. So now he tosses that little ball of horse shit all shined up, and the news media goes running after it. In the meantime, his daughter and son-in-law are breaking the law, putting the country's security at risk, and who the fuck cares? Right? Hey, Republicans in the Senate, is this enough? Will this do it, you hypocritical fuckers? Will this do it? You want to lock her up? Okay, lock her up, Ivanka. Nah, you're not going to do shit, are you? You're not going to assist your Democratic brothers across the aisle in putting this motherfucker out of office, are you? What does it take? The House Oversight Committee began looking into the use of personal email at the White House in March of 2017, when Republicans were still in control of the committee. The committee launched a bipartisan investigation into the use of personal email and message accounts by non-career officials at the White House, like Ivanka and Kushner and Bannon and fuckwads like them. But Elijah Cummings says in the letter that even after he followed up in December 2018 requesting documents on the cusp of become this after election, ready to become chairman, quote, the White House failed to produce any additional documents and refuses to provide the promised briefing during this time frame, end quote. Cummings added, quote, as you know, the White House, the talking building, has not produced a single piece of paper to the committee in the 116th Congress, that's this one, in this or any other investigation, end quote. And they're not going to, Chairman Cummings. You know that. If I know that, you know that. So what that means, your other means of obtaining these documents, as you have said you might get to, you know it's time to issue subpoenas and get this fucking thing before the Supreme Court. That's going to be interesting. Donald Trump is a fucking criminal and a lawbreaker. Will the Supreme Court take note of that? Or will the Supreme Court, due to its political flavor, tell Elijah Cummings or whoever is the plaintiff in this lawsuit, nah, go sit down and shut up? We'll soon know. Abby Lowell responded yesterday to Elijah Cummings' letter, which Abby Lowell said, quote, it's not completely accurate about what was said. Do you like those weasel words? Are there more weasel words than those? Well, that's not completely accurate. Does that mean it's only partly accurate? Well, I guess. What part is accurate, Abby Lowell? It's not completely accurate. I love that. I fucking love that. God damn. Actually, I don't. But what difference does it make what I like or don't like? That's not completely accurate about what was said. Lowell said that he never, his word, said at their December meeting that Kushner's communications on WhatsApp were with foreign leaders or officials. Huh? He said, Lowell said, quote, I did not specify who they were. Greasy fucker. For example, he has numerous friends and contacts abroad. Oh, right. That's what Kushner was doing, right? He was contacting his friends abroad. Oh, my God. Abby Lowell also denies that he revealed that Ivanka continues to receive official emails to her private account that she does not forward to her government account in potential violation of the Presidential Records Act, yada, yada, fucking blah, blah, blah. I'll tell you, Ivanka Trump is really starting to get on my nerves. You talk about a direct descendant of, what's her name? Louis XIV's wife, who was it?
Marie
Antoinette. Another brain fart. She is direct descendant of Marie Antoinette. Let them eat cake. They're starving. They don't have bread. Let them eat cake. I would love to live long enough to see Ivanka in a minimum security women's prison. I would love that. And her husband in a maximum security men's prison down the way from Donald Trump. If I could live long enough to see that, that would be my version of heaven. That's it for me. Listen, I want to for this week, I want to remind you again of what we're doing here at the Malloy Podcast. We have lowered the price of our podcast subscriptions into the sub-basement. Right now, they're $29.95, for God's sake. Is that what it says on the website? $29.95, you're sure? Okay. After the 15th, they're going to be $49.95. The podcast subscription includes audio and visual, so you'll be able to see me. Isn't this fun? The day I have a massive coronary, you'll be able to observe it right on your screen. After the 15th, the price goes up to $49.95. So we're hoping that you will subscribe. Now's the time to do it. Or renew your subscription. Now's the time to do it. I'll see you Monday. In the meantime, take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Good night, Kathy. Just like my mama said.